praise. And if that praise feels uncomfortable, give him more praise. Amen. Remember that David danced to the Lord. Amen. David danced to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Shouts of joy to the Lord. Be like David. When you give more praise, more of God fills you up from the inside. Amen. It's not magic. It's God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Put your hand in the hand of the hand. And give him praise this morning in this beautiful church. Madison singing with Nana. Teach a child, amen? While she's young, teach her about Jesus, amen? Does that mean it's going to be a perfect life? No. Does it mean that she won't turn to the left and right sometimes? No, of course not. But it means that she has seeds planted, amen? It means that she has something in front of her, something leading her, something more pulling on her, amen? It means that she has some of the truth inside her heart today, amen? That she wants to know more about Jesus. She stood up and sang in front of you because she wanted to sing with Nana, but she loves what she's singing, amen? Give God praise and glory. Hallelujah. If nothing else today, find joy in your heart. Find peace in your heart as you come to this church and look at the fellowship and the love. Amen. Look around and see people ready to hear. Thank that church across the room. Thank that Episcopal beautiful church for ringing their bells for us each week like that. What a blessing. We got to meet the people who, some of the people from that church. It was a beautiful thing. Let's stand up and pray to our Father now. Hallelujah. Our Father. Whose Father? Our Father. Hallelujah. We don't need a mediator. We got God. We got Jesus. Let's say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. That's our promise. That's our Father. That's our Jesus. Give him praise, church. Give him praise this morning from your heart. From your heart. It's more than the words. It's more than the prayer. It's what's in your heart. Hallelujah. That draws you closer to God. Oh, if you just knew how good God was. We all fall short of grabbing how good he is. Amen? We all, because he's got so much for us that we don't dare grab onto everything. We don't know how to handle it. God is good. Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise, church. Let praise fill the church this morning. I know it's hot. We won't keep you long today. I wanted to read a little bit more about what we were talking about forgiveness, amen, and about who God forgives and who has received forgiveness and who can receive forgiveness. Are you with me? Stephen was saying this in the book of Acts. I was meant to tell you that the book of Acts, Miss Gladys, the book of Acts is simply the Acts of the disciples, the beginning of the church after Jesus' death. They waited 50 days to go to Jerusalem to be with him in the upper room. Amen? He told them to be all in one accord in the upper room and receive the Holy Spirit. And then the book of Acts was written, telling us all about what they did, how they built a church. Notice, a church. There was never a name for the church. Amen? They built a church under who? Jesus. And this is the Acts of the disciples and the apostles and what they did. It's simply that simple. When you read this book, you start to get an understanding of where they went and how it started. Hallelujah. Stephen was preaching. Said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in your heart and ears. He's telling them, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. And he said, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, that is Jesus, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. Stephen is telling these people that they've heard it all, they've seen it, and they've rejected it. Amen? And he said, when they heard these things, when the people, all the people heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Well, can you imagine that? And they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into the heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Can you imagine what Stephen was looking at? He saw Jesus standing in heaven, and then they all cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes. Listen to this, because this is very important, this line. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then Stephen knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Do not charge them with this sin, Stephen said. What does that sound like to you? Does that sound like Jesus on the cross? What did Jesus say on the cross? Forgive them, they know not that they sin. You know what that's called? It's called Amazing Grace, amen? The next time you hear somebody singing Amazing Grace, I hope it's followed by what? Amazing Grace. When you're asking God and you're singing for Amazing Grace, I hope that you want to show that Amazing Grace. Amen. We need more forgiveness in this country. Amen. We need more forgiveness in the world. When people start singing, oh, Amazing Grace, how great thou art, and then they walk out there and they still hate their enemies. Amen. They still want revenge on their enemies. They haven't shown any grace, have they? But there's Stephen lying there about to die, and he's asking him he's asking God to show them Amazing Grace. Hallelujah. When you hear somebody singing, I pray that it's followed by grace and forgiveness. Now this young man, Saul, he was in charge. Listen to what it says. Now Saul was consenting to his death. Woo. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. This guy Saul is in bad shape, amen? Anybody ever commit a sin like this? Does anybody ever kill anybody just like Saul did and just send people to death and go again? He's a pretty bad guy, amen? He's a guy that's never going to get to heaven, Miss Mary, is he? We can never forgive him. Who would forgive him? Have you ever done a sin as bad as Saul? I don't think anybody has. Amen? Well, I guess that he'll never be forgiven. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then Saul, who? Thank you. Still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. And he asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found anyone who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. What's he looking for? He's asking the high priest of the church, amen, in Jerusalem, to give him permission to take people of the way. That means believers, Sergio, amen. He wants to see people. This guy Saul's not letting up, amen. Miss Mary, he's never going to make it to heaven, this guy. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And now listen to Saul. Listen to this guy. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? He knew he was a God, amen? He just didn't know who God was. Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. It's a strange expression. A goad. Do you know what a goad? Anybody's a farmer? Anybody ever a shepherd? You would know a goad is a stick with a round end on one side and a pointed end on the other. It's what the farmer uses to push the oxen, Miss Pat, to get them moving and to prod them along. And God is telling Saul, It's hard for you to push against the goat. In other words, God has been trying to get to Saul, amen? Saul hears the word. Saul knows the word because he knows the Bible, amen? But he's not being pushed, amen? He's not allowing God to prod him in that direction, amen? It's not like Saul doesn't know the Bible. Are you with me? He's a priest. He's a high priest who wants to be, amen? He wants to be high, amen? He wants to be important. He knows the word of God. Are you with me? That line makes people just stumble a little, Miss Karen, but it just means that God is telling Saul, you know the word, and no matter how I push you and prod you to follow it, you push against it. That's simply what it means. He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats. So he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you imagine the difference in the story of Jesus when he was in the synagogue with the Pharisees preaching, and instead of stoning him and telling him and calling him names, one of them said, what would you want me to do? Imagine how the world would have changed. Salvation was this close. They were pushing against the goads, the Pharisees, amen? They knew the word of God. They knew the word because they preached it. Yet when God stood in front of them, they didn't recognize him. Amen? Hallelujah. If one of them had said, what do you want me to do? Imagine how that story would have changed. Finally. Say that with me. Finally. Finally. Yeah, see, we're all complaining about the cold in February. Now the women's in. Okay. He trembled and astonished, said, what do you want me to do? And then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. How many days? Hallelujah. Now there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. Oh God, that you would know God when he was talking to you, amen? Oh God, if he woke you up in the middle of the night talking and you knew it was him, and he said, here I am, Lord, hallelujah. If I can get you to that place where God is talking to you in the middle of the night and you sit up and say, here I am, Lord, oh Lord, where the place should be. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. What is he doing? Hallelujah. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Listen to what Ananias said. He answers and said, Lord, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go. What does he say? Go. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying hands on him, he said, Brother Saul. What did he call him? Brother Saul. Did he get accepted? Right there, the Lord Jesus, he said, who appeared to you on the road as you came, he has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples in Damascus. Immediately he preached to Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful story. Saul found redemption, amen? Because he repented, amen? He got down on his knees and asked for forgiveness, amen? You might not know this man is Saul. You might not know that that was his name. Miss Pat, his new name, Paul, who wrote most of the letters in the New Testament. A man who once gave his heart to God, once his eyes were opened and saw God, did nothing in his life except preach the word. Did nothing in his life except tell others about Jesus. He did nothing in his life except bring others to God, amen? And help churches and start churches. Him and Peter and John, amen, and Timothy, amen, and Matthew. They were in one accord, amen. This man who was a sinner of sinners repented, and God rose him up higher than he could have ever imagined being raised up in the church where the high priests were, amen. The place where he wanted to be. The place where he thought was the pinnacle of his spiritual career, amen, was dust. Dust compared to where God brought him up, amen. God wants to bring you up that way, amen. He wants to bring you up higher. You think you know all about God and you know all about the Bible? He's saying today, you know nothing today. Come to me and let me lift you higher. Let me show you more. Let me take you from this point, and a year from now you say, I can't believe where I was a year ago to where I am today. Where I am 6 months from now, where I am today. Where I am next week than where I am today. Amen? That's what he's saying to you. He said, let me lift you higher. You got dreams? I'm glad you got dreams. Let me give you a dream worth dreaming. Amen? You got a heart's desire? That's wonderful. But let me give you a heart's desire greater than the desire. Whatever you need to follow me, you follow me and I will show you. Amen? But it takes one thing. It takes a heart willing. A heart willing to walk with God, to repent and walk with God. Amen? You don't walk with God and be the same person you were, or you never really accepted him. You don't walk with God and do and say things that are vile against God. Amen? You don't walk with God and continue to sin and do all the things you did and bring others to that. That's not walking with God. Amen? You walk with God and say, Lord, I fell short today. Raise me up tomorrow. I repent. Amen? I want to walk with you. And you just see the reward. See the reward. See the forgiveness. If you had things in your heart you thought God could not forgive you for, leave them right now, right here at the altar, because he's already done it. You have to let it go. Are you with me? And you see what Paul's dream, like your dream, James, Paul's dream was to be the high priest of the church in Jerusalem. And that dream became dust compared to where God raised him. Amen? And that's where God wants to raise you. Give him praise and glory and say, get it. Now pray with me that we have a baptism here outside if we're just washing each other's hands and praying for God's repentance this month. Amen? That this church raises higher because we're doing according to God. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. Praise is a sound. Praying is to you and God. But when I say, if you believe and you want him to know it, you got to praise it. Amen? How many believe this morning? Come on. I believe. And I'm waiting. Hallelujah. And I thank him. I thank him for what he did on that cross. I remember what he did on that cross. Salvation was on that cross. Hallelujah. Salvation. The forgiveness of my sins, my iniquities were on that cross. He did it once and said, it is finished. He doesn't do it again because God said, it is finished. And he simply said, we do this in remembrance of him. Hallelujah. The art, the act of doing it from your heart. This is a good time to ask God to forgive you, to remove your iniquities, to remove the doubt in your mind that God can't do what he says he can do, to remove the doubt in your mind if you have a worry, to remove that because he can do what he says he can do and he will, that he loves you. He loves you. Praise God. As we do the Lord's Supper, this is a beautiful place for forgiveness. When you forgive, it is done. When Jesus forgave us, it was done. Done. No more would he remember. We need to get this world in that order. To not remember yesterday. To forgive. Because as you remove, God can fill. Oh, just think of that. The bondage that you remove, the anger, the vengeance that you remove can be filled by God, who can then raise you up higher. And we can tell others about God, and we can show others about God, and the world cannot deny that God exists because of amazing grace that we showed each other. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Jesus said, to do this in remembrance of him as he took the bread, blessed and broke it, telling us that this was his body being torn for us. In Jesus' name. Who is willing to receive those who believe? Who is willing to receive those who believe? He took the wine and poured it into a cup and said, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins according to the book of Matthew." For those who will believe. In Jesus' name. Thank you, deacons. There's so many things in the world that cause distraction. The devil's got that tool down pretty good. We rise up and show the world God, and there will be no doubt who He is. And that will remove the distractions. Praise God. I am just one person. That's not an excuse to God any longer. That woman at the well was one person. She got the whole community saved. She brought the whole community to Jesus. Your forgiveness is contagious. We need to spread forgiveness. The sins of the past should be just where they are. And if God raises us up like He did Saul, we have a lot to look forward to. If God raises us up like He did Saul, we have a lot to be thankful for. Praise God. I pray that 6 months from now you look back and say, "Well, look where I've been and look where I'm going. Because I'm walking with God. I set myself free from bondage just to be with Him." So I walk with God. The time I've been with you, even the time I've been with you, seems like I watch less and less news. I watch less and less of the talk on whatever channel, whatever, because it's a distraction. It hurts my spirit, and I need to find a place of peace, so I turn back to God. Because I see the darkness, and I see people against people who don't even know each other. And I say, "Lord, that's not of you." I see people titling other people because of what they think and what they have. All of a sudden they're enemies, and they don't even know that that person that they're calling a name could be the person that saves their life a month from now. Could be their best friend a year from now. They're blind to that, and that's the devil's work, amen? But the more I follow God, the less I want to see that, because I have hope in Him. I don't have hope in man, amen? That's where I pray that your hope begins to grow. That we let go of the distractions and the things that divide people, and we bring people to God, because that glorifies our Father, amen? And the world then cannot deny that He is who He is. Give Him praise and glory, church.